Well, I'm going to continue this morning with the series Love Life and See Good Days. We're going to start this morning with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. If you'd go there with me, please, I invite you to do that if you would choose to. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'm waiting for you to get there. Are you there? That's always good that you bring your Bible and use your own Bible, even though I put it up there. Because how do you know I'm telling you the truth if you don't look in your own Bible? Amen. Don't trust me. Trust what the Word says. It says, but know this. Is God's Word eternal? Can He lie? Is it possible for Him to lie? So if He says something, it will stand, right? That means no matter what's going on, this is truth. Okay. But know this, that in the last days, and the Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost concerning the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, this is that which was spoken of Joel in the last days. Well, that's 2,000 years ago. Okay? So we're 2,000 years farther down the line. But he says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Hard to bear, difficult times will come. Now, I'm using that to start this morning because I want you to understand that you and I cannot change that. That will be the way life is. In the last days, be difficult, hard to bear, perilous times. Now, there's a reason for that. It's because men and women around us are living without restraints. They don't know the truth. They are doing what seems right in their own sight. That's what was happening when the flood came. All men, except for Noah. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? In the last days, well, I'm using this to help you to understand that we, the body of Christ, are not to be running from our world. And you cannot change the fact that in the last days there will be perilous times. Now, we need to learn to live with that and be successful in those times. Achieving what God would have us to do in those times. That is the world that we are living in. We can't pray it away. We can't, it's not going to go away, and we cannot hide from it. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? Don't run from the difficult times. Don't run from difficult people. The harvest field that God has sent us to are those who are difficult. If you'd go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and read what he says there about the people, that's why it's difficult, because of the people. They're lovers of self, they're incontinent, they're haters of God, they're all that stuff. That's our harvest field. That's who God has sent us to. He didn't tell us to run from it. He told us to go to it. Now, it says in Ephesians that the people are not the battle. It's the principalities and powers that are moving them and motivating them. Yes? Okay. When David went to the battlefield and Goliath came and taunted the armies of Israel, I want you to understand what that is. It's a picture of the body of Christ when they're misbehaving. The enemy comes to the church and goes, boo! And they run. They run to their houses, they run to their churches, and lock the doors. David comes along. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine pig that he would defy the armies of the living God? And his big brothers and all of their cousins are in the foxholes because Goliath is out there saying, you guys are a bunch of chickens. Send somebody out here to fight me. He gave the invitation, and here came David. 17-year-old boy against a 9-foot giant trained for war. He says, I and God are enough. I'm going to go meet this giant. Did you ever notice that that David ran just like the rest of the armies did, only he was running a different direction? He ran toward the challenge. He ran toward the perilous time. He ran toward the difficult moment. He knew that the God that delivered him from the bear and the lion was going to deliver him from this uncircumcised Philistine. You know what that means? He has no covenant with God. And I do. It's not about my size. It's not about what I have. It's not about whether my spear is as big as his, or I don't have a shield bearer. I don't have one to carry my shield. I don't even have a shield. I'm going out there with a sling and some stones. Why? Because that's what I've got. And he ran toward the giant, and he slung that stone that killed him. And David took Goliath's own sword and cut his frickin' head off. You understand that, don't you? One of the greatest tragedies in our generation is the church is hiding behind walls. They're afraid to say anything. They're afraid to take a stand. They're afraid to speak the truth in love. They're afraid to be noticed. Amen. I've often told you there's no backup in me. David had no backup in him. He only knew one thing. Goliath's in my way. I guess I'm just going to have to walk over him. Amen? So, our lost world is why it's difficult. And we have been sent. We've been commissioned. We've been anointed and equipped to make disciples of all nations. The Lord is with us even to the end of the age. You say, well, what does this have to do with loving life and seeing good days? You got to know the time you're living in. And you need to do what 1 Peter chapter 3 says, so that in those times you can love life and see good days, because God did not put you here to fail. He put you here to overcome. It says that we are to be a blessing, that we might inherit a blessing. Now, brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to tell you is, there is no such thing as utopia on this earth. There will never be a time when you are not faced with enemies. You can have peace, but they're still out there. And the harvest field that he's sending us to are the broken, the immoral, the illegal, the insane, the possessed, the addicted. Who did God send to David when David was in the wilderness to build his mighty men of valor? Can you remember? The discontent, the debtor, the ones that are in debt, the ones that are running from the law. I bet David was thinking, thank you, God, for sending me an army. Quality stuff. Of course, David was in a spot where he really didn't have much choice. Thank God God put him in that place where he couldn't go pick the cherries off the tree. He had to take the ones that had fallen on the ground. What am I trying to say with you, brothers and sisters, is the world that we're living in is the world that we've been sent to transform. And Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in and earth, and under the earth. He says, go, because of that, I am commissioning you to go. He said, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe to do everything I've commanded you. Oh, and by the way, I'll be with you every step of the way. He said the same thing to Jeremiah. He said, I'm sending you out to lift up nations, put nations down. He said, I'll be with you. He said this to Jeremiah. He said, I'm going to bring the nations against Jerusalem, but there I'm going to pronounce judgment. He wants Jeremiah to speak the truth to them in love. God wants the church to speak the truth to the world. You know, this shaking that's going on in our world, it's our chance.
Come on.
To speak the truth in love to our world. Amen? So I really am talking about loving life and seeing good days. So far in this study, we've learned, number one, that we are to be loving one another, have compassion for one another, have mercy for one another, because we have been called to be a blessing that we might inherit a blessing. And if we are to love life and see good days, we are to be tender-hearted, courteous. We're to manage our speaking. Yes? We are to turn away from evil and do good. And we are to seek peace and pursue it while we're living here on this earth. When in the last days, know this. He said, know this. He said, get this. There will be perilous times. Amen? So go to 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. I just want to read down through there, but I'm headed to verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. This would be my last session for this series, as far as I know at the moment. Verse 8 says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary wise, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing, for he who would love life, who wants to love life? Who wants to see good days? Okay, he tells us how to do it. Number one, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Now verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Verse 12. I want you to notice the first word in that verse. What is it? That word for connects you to the preceding truth. So I'm going to go back and start in verse 10. For he would love life and see good days. Now he told us prior to that to love one another, be compassionate, have mercy, be a blessing. Okay? Now of course, Judy, we're to do that in our homes. We're to do that with the people that we love and love us. But we're also called to be a blessing wherever we go, that we might inherit a blessing. And he has called us to go to this world in these last days that are perilous. Not to run from it. Not to hide from it. I don't have to be afraid of it. Are there crazy people out there? Yes. Are there people out there that think they want to hurt us? Yes. But my Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now, as a sidelight to what I'm teaching today, I need for the body of Christ to believe what the Bible says and understand it for these days. You need to exercise your faith when fear tries to come upon you. We had a gentleman come in between services last week. There was something about him. He came in for just a little bit and then he left. But there's a lady in our church that got really scared because he was here. And then she asked us, well, can you lock the doors? Did God call us to hide behind doors? Did he call us to live in colonies? I'm not picking on anybody. Did he call us to hide within groups of people? Do you know when the church really began to grow after Jesus was raised from the dead? When persecution drove them out of the city. Wow. Well, we can't run from what the enemy's doing, can we? Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. We have been called to transform our world. And we don't transform our world by hiding behind glass walls and sending them messages by radio and television or letters. Jesus walked and talked and ate in the world. Yes? Okay. So, verse 12 is referring back to the ones prior to. You got to get that. Four. Why did he tell us, let your... refrain your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile? turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. In our world, we're not going to use the world's principles or their manner of behavior or their manner of speaking or their manner of thinking. We're not going to yield to that. We're going to be a doer of love and mercy and kindness and grace. We're not going to put up with their foolishness, but we're going to love them and lead them to Christ. I'm not going to be like them, but I'm not going to segregate myself from them. Hello. And I'm not going to be afraid of them because they are uncircumcised Philistines. They don't have a covenant with God. They're without hope. They're without God. They're without Christ in the earth. Who has the covenant? Okay, that's important. So he says, for, because of all these things, I want you to understand that you can be doers of those because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Now, you're the righteous when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, there are those out there that are trying to say there is no God, that it's foolishness, that there's many ways to heaven. It's not about Jesus Christ. And there are those that would be antagonistic toward you, that would try to harm you, that would try to hurt you. But what God is wanting you to understand, I am with you. You can be a doer of what I've said. You can trust me to accomplish in your life what I said because my eyes are on you. My face is turned towards you. I'm giving my attention to you. I am watching over you to protect you, to care for you, to provide for you, to lead you, to guide you, to forgive you, to pick you up, to get you going again. My eyes are over you to watch my word come to pass in your life. Now, what you need to understand, there's this other group of people that are living without restraints, we're living without boundaries, we're living without God, without Jesus Christ. God's eyes are not on them. Now, that does not mean he doesn't want to bring them home. It does not mean he doesn't love them. But when it comes to a fight between you and them, he's on your side. Deuteronomy chapter 28, talking about the blessings of those who are doers of the word of God, says that God goes before you and beats down all your enemies before your face. So I would say this to the body of Christ. Stop running from the perilous times. Stop running from the perilous people. Do not let fear get a hold of you. Fear is not an emotion. It is a principality and power. It's a living entity. And the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. So whatever fear is trying to get you to do, do the opposite. Remember, the armies of Israel, the church, ran from Goliath. David did just the opposite. He ran toward him, not only slew Goliath, but he delivered Israel from the Philistines. Wow. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So he's watching over you to perform his word in your life, to protect you, to care for you, to provide for you, to forgive you, to heal you, to deliver you. And his ears are listening to what you're asking for. It's amazing that James said, you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you're just consuming it upon your own lusts. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, what have you asked the Father in my name? He'll give it to you. I just love it in Psalms chapter, is it one or two? I keep forgetting. If you ask, I'll give you the nations as our inheritance. If you ask. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. If I ask, he'll give me the nations as my inheritance. What does that mean? Okay, so I'm living in this world of perilous times, and there's a whole group of nations out here that living in my neighborhood. God said if I'd ask, he'd give me them as my inheritance. Instead of running and trying to protect myself, I need to get out there and transform my world. Amen? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them who do evil. Now I'm telling it again, I'm not telling you that God is against people, but he's for his children. And he's asked you to do a job, and he's watching over you to protect you and perform his word in your life. He is listening to what you're saying. Now, your enemies may be praying for your demise. He's not hearing their prayer. When you're talking to the creator of heaven and earth, he's listening to you. I shared with you, you know, last week talking about the giveaway and how I shared with you how in my heart the Lord had placed in my heart how extremely pleased he was that we had reached out and touched those lives. Because when you touch those whom God loves, you touch his heart. Now, but when it comes down to push and shove and those that are outside of the kingdom trying to hurt his kids, they're touching his heart. And he's watching over you and he's listening to your prayers. Amen. So let's move forward.
Yeah. They just took my mom to the emergency
room. Okay.
I need to go.
Okay. We'll let you do that. Let's pray for her. Yeah. Father, we lift up Jim's mom to you. We're trusting you every moment of the way. Right here from where we are. We can trust you. Thank you, Father, for moving on Jim's mother's behalf. Restoring life to her. Encouraging her, strengthening her. In the name of Jesus, devil, you get your hands off of her. You cannot have her. You release her and set her free. In Jesus' name, amen. Together we can, right? My team gets smaller by the moment. You guys have no idea how big a part Pastor Terry is of this deal. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 and 10. 2 Chronicles 16, verses 9 and 10. In the context of this two verses here, there was a king in Judah by the name of Asa. Now, Asa had done right in the eyes of the Lord for 35 years as king. But this moment, he stumbled. There is a gentleman in Israel, a king by the name of Baasha. He decided he was going to come down against Judah, build a city of Ramah so that no one could come in and out from Judah. In other words, he's setting sanctions or barricading the nation, going to try to starve the nation out, I suppose, so he could take over. And Asa made a mistake. He put his confidence somewhere other than in the Lord Jesus Christ or in Jehovah. You say, well, what does this have to do with loving life and seeing good days? We're living in perilous times. And God said, you can love life and see good days. And we need to keep our eyes and our thoughts where they need to be. Because what Asa did, he took the money out of the treasure house of God and took the money out of the treasure house of the kingdom, sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, and asked him to come against the king of Judah and deliver him. Well, he did. Well, the problem is, brothers and sisters, your strength is no stronger than what you are leaning on. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Whatever you're trusting in, well, let me put it this way. Suppose I was a multi-trillionaire and I put in my confidence in the resources that I have. My strength is no stronger than the resources that I have. But what if they're gone? If my confidence is in my education, the degrees I have, that's the extent of my strength. If my confidence is in the people I know and who they are, then that's the extent of my strength. Got it? But if I put my confidence in my Heavenly Father and what He has promised, then my strength and my confidence is at His level. Right? Okay. So Asa forgot what he's done. And so God sent a prophet to him and said, I was greater than the Ethiopians and all these other people that we defeated. Why did you go to Ben-Hadad? So then he says this, for the eyes of the Lord. You do realize, don't you, that the Old Testament was written for our benefit? And when he's talking about the nation of Israel, he's talking about the church? Yes? Okay. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth just to see how disgusting it is. What does it say? To show himself strong, to show himself strong. God's eyes are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And he said in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16, my eyes are moving throughout all the earth. They're wide open, searching for those that I can be strong in their life. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Go to the next frame, please. On behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, he said, my face is toward the righteous. My ears open to their prayers. But those that are trying to harm you, they got a problem. Because I'm for you. I like to say it this way. If God is for you, Tim, he's not for them. Now, he would not like for you to hurt them or harm them or be disrespectful or forget that they're the harvest field, but he's for you. You get the picture? Okay. So his eyes are moving throughout the earth, searching for those in whom he may show himself strong on their behalf, whose heart is loyal to him. Now listen, let's not make this too religious. Jesus is your Lord. You love him. You have been chosen by God, and you're holy and without fault before him. You are not that flesh you're walking in. You're a new man, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's perfect. He's born in the image of God. He's created in the image of God. He's perfect without flaw in every way. You get this? So he's talking about you. In this you have done foolish to talk to Asa, because you turned to Ben-Hadad instead of to me. He says you've done foolishly. If you were to read this account, you'll find that God said, now you're not only going to have wars now for on. It said if you'd have trusted me, we would have removed Ben-Hadad from you forever. Amazing, isn't it? Now, I'm not trying to put this on Asa. I'm trying to bring it down to us. Go to the next verse. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. Wow. You know what? This took place in the 35th year of Asa's reign. He was struck with disease in his feet shortly after this. He never did repent from this. 6 years later, he was dead. Put his trust somewhere else. And when God corrected him, he didn't take the correction. Brothers and sisters, don't be stupid. God's on your side. Well, what would you call it, Sean?
You said pretty good.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Yeah, if I come to you and tell you something, don't be stupid. Listen. Throughout the book of Isaiah, God is saying, if you'll just listen to me, things will work out. Amen? Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 15 through 16. In this context, King Solomon, in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, has dedicated the temple and prayed a prayer and asked God to move in. God did. He so filled the temple. I love this. He so filled the temple, Fawn, that priests couldn't even step in the door. The reason they couldn't get in the temple, Tim, is because it was full. It was full. There was no space for the priest to squeeze in the door. Got that? He completely filled the temple. Brothers and sisters, do you understand he's not talking about that building? He's talking about this book was written, Old Testament, for benefit of the saints. When he's talking about the temple, he's talking about you and I. We are the temple. He says some things here that are so powerful. He said, my eyes will be open. He's talking about this temple. After Solomon prayed, God came and began to talk. He said, now, he said, my eyes will be open. That means wide open. Literally, it means wide open. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. Now, what was he talking about? He's talking about that temple in Jerusalem, right? But we are the children of the living God. We are the children of Abraham by faith. We're the children of faith. And in Corinthians, Paul says, know you not that you are the temple of the living God? And God says, my eyes are open and my ears attentive to the prayers that are made in this place. That's talking about, Tim, while you're living in those perilous times. For now I have chosen. You know, in Ephesians 1 it says, before the beginning of the world, before foundation of the world, I chose you. To be in Christ, holy and without fault before me in love. Wow! For now, I have chosen this temple and sanctified this house. That means he set it apart for holy use. God put his finger on it and says, tag, you're in. I choose you. I set you apart for holy use. My eyes are on you and my ears are open to your prayers. How about that? He says, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house so that my name may be there for how long?
Forever.
For how long?
Forever.
How long? Now, Kathy, I'm having a problem here because that temple doesn't even exist today. He's talking about this temple. That my name. You know, the Bible says that each one of you, because you're born again, you've got a name written across your forehead that no man can name except God himself. That's got to scare the devil into next week. Every time he, I don't know what he does, every time he comes out and about, when you guys get up in the morning, he goes, oh my goodness, there they are again. If I don't get them convinced that they are nothing, if I can't get them afraid, if I can't get them to be trusted more in what they've done wrong instead of what Jesus did for them, I'm in trouble. Because they're identified, chosen by God, set apart by God, that his eyes are over them and his ears are open to their prayers. Go to next frame. Go to the next frame. Particularly want you to pay attention to this phrase. And my eyes and my what? My love, my care, my concern, my devotion, my faithfulness, my commitment. Listen, my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Moment by moment, every moment of every hour, every moment of every day, every moment of every week, every moment of every year, as long as you are on this earth in these perilous times. You've got a job to do, and I'm there with you because I'm watching you. And my ears are open to your prayers. That's why David said, I'm going to find me some rocks. Think about this, Tim. A sling and five rocks. That's all he had. He didn't even take any armor with him. I'm going to knock his lights out. I like his attitude. Don't ever run from your enemies. Run toward them. So it's chosen. That word chosen is based on a thorough examination of the situation, not an arbitrary whim. God knew exactly what he was doing when he chose you to be his temple. He knew exactly what he was doing when he decided that his eyes would be on you and his heart would be there perpetually. That word sanctified means to make, pronounce, or observe as clean. Go to Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. We're going to be able to finish this. He who would love life and see good days, let him, because my eyes are over the righteous and my ears are open to his prayers. Judy, the world has nothing that they can do when you keep your eyes on Him. I sent Don a text during the week here, and I said the person who's walking in love has no enemies that can win against him. There's no one that can defeat him when you walk in love. Well, here in Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then, okay, now remember, God separated this temple unto himself, right? He filled it, right? And he said, now, my eyes and my heart will be here in this place perpetually. Wow. Then he said this in the New Covenant after Jesus was raised from the dead. Seeing that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, Jesus actually did go up into the heavenly holy of holies and sat at the right hand of God. True? Yes? But brothers and sisters, we are that house made without hands, eternal. We are temples of the living God. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us. Amen? And we have a high priest, one who is eternal, will never die, one who will never sin, one who never has to offer another sacrifice. What he did was enough. He gave one sacrifice for all time, for all people. And then he sat down because the work is finished. His work is finished. And now he turned it over to us. We don't have to die on the cross. We need to take his message to a lost and dying world. But God said, I will inhabit this temple and I will be there forever. And my eyes will be open. My ears will be a tent to them. And then we have a high priest who lives in that temple. Well, who's on the inside of us, for crying out loud? Is it not the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God? Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our whining and crying and complaining. Let us run in fear. Let us hide and run to the foxholes when the enemy comes out and goes, boo! I'm going to get you. I'm going to shut you down. There is no God but me. Goliath said, come on, you guys. Isn't there a man among you? Wait, this is what he was saying. Isn't there anybody out there that's got enough hair to come fight me? A bunch of wusses hiding in your caves, hiding in your foxholes. He was shaming them. He was embarrassing them, and they went and ran and hid anyway. But then that little boy come along. He said, that's enough of this. I'm tired of being under their bondage. I'm tired of putting up with their nonsense. I'm going to kill him. You see, when we let deceit get on our tongues, we're letting our confession, what God said, get away from us. Because we have a high priest, eternal in the heavens, hold fast to our confession. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. I thought it was interesting. Jim quoted this morning when he was talking to us. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I said, yeah, but that was Jesus. You have the same spirit in you that Jesus had. And you are without fault and holy before the Father, just as Jesus was. And when you hold fast to your confession of faith, you can have confidence, Tim, because your confession of faith goes up to your high priest who presents it to the Father, and he's an everlasting, eternal, without sin. Jesus has the everlasting covenant with God. And we are in him. And it's eternal. Are you getting it? Go to the next frame. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Listen, it's not a throne of judgment. It's not a throne of condemnation. It's not a throne of fault finding. It's the throne of what? It's the throne of what? It's the throne of what? You know, when you come there, Linda, you get what he wants you to have, not what you deserve. It's a gift. It's the throne of gift giving. All who will may. Whatever you ask in my name, he'll give it to you. He says, come boldly. Why? Because you are a temple of the living God. You are holy and without fault. You are forgiven. You're adopted. You're lifted up and seated at the right hand of the Father. And God said, my heart and my eyes are over this temple perpetually. And God says, in those perilous times, don't put your confidence and faith where it doesn't belong, because you want your strength to be strong. Keep them on me. I'm listening to what's happening. Ask me and I'll do it. Wow. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. Mercy. And what? Grace in our what? Time of need. We can be bold, brothers and sisters. We can move around and walk around like we own the place, but do it in love and kindness and mercy. And when they're throwing rocks, don't throw rocks back. When they're throwing insults, don't throw insults back. When they're being disparaging, don't disparage them. They're the ones you're sent to. They're the ones Jesus died for. The crowd in Jesus' day chose Barabbas instead of Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus chose to take Barabbas' place so that he could go free. And he was a murderer. You see, brothers and sisters, the world is broken is one we've been sent to. And if we're going to love life and see good days, we're not going to live, talk, and think the way they do. And you can go ahead and obey the word, because the eyes of the Lord are over the temple and his heart is there forever. And he's listening to your prayers. And I've got to close. God bless.